social, cultural and economic well-being of our rural city. Help us to be wise in our deliberations and fair in our actions, so that prosperity and happiness shall be the lot of our people. Amen. The Horsham Rural City Council acknowledges the five traditional owner groups of this land, the Wachabolic, Wagaya, Jabbagog, Jarwa and Jarwajali people. We recognise the important and ongoing place that all Indigenous people hold in our community. We pay our respects to the elders, both past and present, and commit to working together in a spirit of mutual understanding and respect for the benefit of the broader community and future generations. Welcome councillors, staff and members of the public and the media to our council meeting tonight. My name is Councillor Mark Radford, the Mayor of the Horsham Rural City. I advise that tonight's council meeting will be recorded to maintain an audio archive, which will be available on the Horsham Rural City Council website as soon as possible. Please note that this meeting is being streamed live on the internet. Councillors participating in this meeting by electronic means will be taken to be present and part of the quorum for the meeting, provided that they can hear proceedings, they can see and be seen by other members in attendance, and they are able to speak and be heard by those in attendance. I'll now ask each councillor individually to confirm this. Councillor Clark, can you please confirm that you can see and hear other members in attendance and that you're able to speak?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I can.
Thank you. Councillor Grimble.
Mayor, I can see and hear those who have spoken and everyone present.
Thank you. Councillor Goulburn.
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Koenig.
Confirmed, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Power.
Present, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. And Councillor Robertson.
Confirmed both, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Item four is apologies. There's no apologies for this evening's meeting. Item five is leave of absence requests. Are there any requests for leave of absence? Thank you. Item six is confirmation of the minutes.
Is there a point of order on that, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Councillor Robertson.
Mr. Mayor, the minutes of the 3rd of August are inaccurate. They don't show the full motion that I raised. And Mr. Mayor, the second point of order with that, and basis of the point of order is process, is that if we confirm them, we're confirming a meeting that didn't comply with the rules, and I can explain that, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, so the motion is that the minutes emanating from the council meeting, the Horsham Rural City Council held online and live streamed on the 27th of July and the 3rd of August be adopted. Before I ask for someone to move or second that and we open up the debate, there is an alteration that does need to be made in the recording of the minutes, and that's on the 27th of July, item 7. Councillor Robertson declared 9.1. It wrongly states the local roads and community infrastructure grant projects. Where he also declared for 9.5, that was correct, but not for 9.1. So that needs to be altered. 9.1 was the budget document, if that makes sense. Councillor Robertson, do you have any comment about that?
No, Mr. Mayor. My concern is that the rescission motion that I moved, which was not fully put to the meeting and resulted in quite some discussion to get it right, is now incorrectly represented in the minutes back to what the original motion that the CEO had put in, missing the last two paragraphs of my motion.
Okay, well, I'm going to go throw to the CEO in a minute to comment about that. But before I do, I want to clarify that your conflict of interest as recorded at 9.1 needs to be changed.
Can you just run that one through again, please, Mr. Mayor?
Yes. So, conflict of interest from Councillor Robertson, 9.1, it mentions the local roads and community infrastructure grants projects, whereas what doesn't relate to that, it related to the budget, whereas in 9.5, yes, it does relate to the local roads and community infrastructure grants projects. because one of them you stayed in and one of them you left. Does that make sense?
Not without looking at it, Mr. Mayor. You're talking about the Taylor's Lake Hall grant,
which
I declared a conflict of interest in.
Okay, all right.
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to move the minutes emulated from the council meeting held online, live streamed for the 27th of July meeting be adopted.
Okay, thank you. Someone like to second that, please? Councillor Clark. Any further discussion?
I only to say that we're picking up the comments that you've just corrected.
Okay, all right, thank you. Any other comments? Okay, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. So we have the issue of the minutes for the 3rd of August. Mr. Fowler, do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, so what I suggest, Mr. Mayor, we do is I take Councillor Robinson's point, so we can actually add those two paragraphs, to the minutes. So perhaps if Council, wants to adopt the minutes subject to the inclusion of those, the full motion Councillor Robinson had previously provided.
Can you say that again a bit later?
Mr. Mayor, so what I suggest is Council, if it wants to consider the minutes subject to the inclusion of those two paragraphs, Councillor Robinson mentioned earlier, because we can actually add those two paragraphs in the minutes.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, there is another difficulty with that matter.
Yes, Councillor Robinson.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, you recall that the discussion was around the fact that the special meetings no longer existed and that the local laws in relation to our current meeting procedure were no longer valid. But the reality, Mr. Mayor, is that the local laws remain valid until we change them or until the 1st of July 2021. The effect of what's happened, Mr. Mayor, creates the difficulty that my rescission motion was not correctly disposed of. Not correctly dealt with, the timeline that I required, which would have taken it through to today, was not complied with. So the difficulty, Mr. Mayor, it puts our budget in jeopardy. So I'm not sure what the easiest way to handle that is, Mr. Mayor. But,
okay, so where we're sitting at the moment, where we have a motion before us to recommend that the meeting minutes be adopted, as in what is in the minutes, what's been written down in the minutes is correct and true. The CEO has said what we can do is add the extra two paragraphs to your notice of motion. He's happy to do that. And so that's what we're talking about at the moment. So
Mr. Mayor, the secondary part of that is, my point of order is, we can't confirm the minutes of a meeting that was not lawfully held. And we need to resolve that. Otherwise, what I'm saying is our budget, and the rescission motion affected the budget, is not on good grounds.
Well, I respect your opinion, Councillor Robertson. That may be your opinion that the meeting wasn't lawfully held. We understand the meeting was lawfully held and the process was lawfully undertaken. The minutes are what they are. They've captured what happened. But we are happy to add the two paragraphs you spoke about. So I'm going to ask, would someone like to move a motion, please, that we adopt the amended 3rd of August 2020 minutes, please, that they be adopted.
So moved, Mr.
Moved by Councillor Clark. Thank you. And seconded by Councillor Power. Councillor Clark, do you want to say anything?
Just that the, according to the lawyers and according to Mr. Barlow and according to the principles that we uphold with the Act, the meeting was lawful, and I'm happy to move the minutes as amended with the last two paragraphs. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Power.
I'm good, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Any speakers against the motion? Councillor Robinson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll just make it as I've made that the special meeting provisions are still current and would apply to this next meeting that the CEO wants to bring on also, unless the motion goes through that changes those rules. The issues, Mr. Mayor, is you've said you made your decisions on legal advice. I've asked you for a copy of that legal advice. You're not, now saying you're going to chase some legal advice as to whether I think you need to give me the legal advice. Which is a bit... But, Mr. Mayor, you also said that a resolution of council overrode the meeting procedure, and Mr. Mayor, that's just not fact. And I've asked you to provide me with a legislative position that supports your assertion, and you've not done that. So, Mr. Mayor, I think in the interests of clarity for the community, I'm happy to tender the email trail between you and I and a couple of others as a public document, and I ask that that be appended to the budget so everyone can see what we're talking about. And that's in accordance with the new Local Government Act 2020, which is relates to transparency, Mr. Mayor. So I'll tender those documents and make them available to whoever requires them, but I'll just request they be appended to the meeting minutes, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Okay. Any other speakers for the motion? Any other speakers against?
Mayor.
Councillor Grimble.
Yeah, I see the issue that Councillor Robinson raising is a separate issue to the actual confirming of the minutes. So confirming the minutes, as I understand, presented are as the meeting unfolded. But what Councillor Robinson is alluding to is something which is part of the meeting that was conducted on the day, but is a separate issue. So I'm not sure how you deal with that. I'm happy to support the minutes as recorded, but it doesn't necessarily, in my mind, pick up or address the issues that Councillor Robinson has raised. Yes. So to me, there are two issues here on the table.
Yeah.
And I'm making it clear that I'm supporting the minutes as presented, but it doesn't necessarily mean that there's clarification on the secondary issue, which might be the primary issue that Councillor Robinson is raising.
Thank you, Councillor Grimble. So I'm happy to deal with this motion to adopt the minutes as we're going through the process now. Mr. Harrison's told me that we're not really supposed to have debate about that, but we're doing that, so that's what's happening. And if and when this gets adopted, then if Councillor Robertson has another motion, I'm happy to hear it. Okay. Are there any other speakers? Okay, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. All right, Councillor Robertson.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to move that we recognise that the budget is not currently on good grounds, and that we take or seek what advice we need to rectify the issue, which may mean redoing the budget.
What's your motion, Councillor Robinson?
Mr. Mayor, the budget is currently invalid, as I see it. I move that we take action that is required to restore the credibility of the budget.
Yeah, I think that falls into the category of a bit vague. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Mr. Bullard,
through you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, look, it's not related to any of the items on the agenda, so I don't think, as a chair, you're in a position to accept it.
You need to have a specific motion, Councillor Robertson. This is one last opportunity before I move on.
Well, Mr. Mayor, you can move on, but you don't have a budget that's on good ground, so do we want to have a bit of a think about it and maybe some others have some comment on it. None of us wants a budget that's not valid.
Okay, I'm going to quick move on. Don't have a motion. Move to item 7, which is conflicts of interest. Any conflicts of interest to declare? Thank you. Number 8 is public question time. Public question time is allocated at the start of the meeting before the formal agenda by council. Questions must be submitted in writing to council by 5 p.m. on the Friday prior to the council meeting. Standing orders will be suspended for question time to allow more informal discussion to take place. Can I have a mover, please, to suspend standing orders at what's the time, please? 5:44. Moved by Councillor Power. Thank you. Seconded by Councillor Koenig. Thank you. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. Okay, we move now to officers' reports. The purpose of this report is to receive and note the economic development report for July 2020. And I do make the request for the mover of any recommendations tonight, if you would please read the recommendation for us. There's a recommendation there, councillors. Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The council receive and note the economic development report, July 2020.
All right. Thank you. Moved by Councillor Clark. Seconded by Councillor Koenig. Thank you. Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I really enjoy getting these reports each month, each when we get them. It's really interesting to watch. I mean, this is only the first of this financial year, the very first report, so we don't have figures going back. But it's really interesting, and I think some of the interesting things are, one is that we are one of the lower councils in Australia who are accessing JobKeeper, and that says a great deal about how this community is coping during JobKeeper, and I think we're doing extremely well compared to a lot of other centres around Australia. So that's a very encouraging thing. So I really enjoy these reports and hope they keep coming. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Councillor Koenig.
Nothing further to add, Mr. Mayor.
Any speakers against the motion? Any other speakers? I'll put the motion. Councillor Robinson.
Yeah, sorry, Mr. Mayor. Look, I'm certainly happy to receive the report. I think our thinking, given we've just had the state of emergency extended, I think, by 12 months, given the state of the nation and the COVID issues, I think we've probably got to start focusing on gaining funding for things that will work for all three tiers of government instead of just one. And typically that's your roads, your rail, bridges, and obviously emergency response and health are probably the areas we need to be looking at if we want to be successful, because money is going to dry up very quickly over the next decade. That's my comment, Mr. Mayor.
Good, thank you. Any other comments?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Councillor Grimble.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mine's a question. It might be a question I noticed, but in the report it talks about business support has focused on the following measures over the past 4 months and direct contact with 300 businesses. So my question to the CEO or any director that might be able to answer either now or at a later date, is there any sort of common themes that those businesses are looking for out of council, that what support they're requesting out of council? That might be a question for a later date, unless someone can make a comment.
Yeah, I'll invite Mr. O'Brien if he'd like to make a comment.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I mean, the key thing now, obviously, with this stage three lockdown is a business having to adjust again to the restrictions, and obviously that's impacting businesses in different ways. So I think the key thing is the fact that their businesses are focusing on that aspect rather than and we just need to be mindful of any support that we provide, that especially with the grants and so forth, even though they've been well responded to, again, businesses are, again, focusing on making those adjustments. So, again, I think, obviously, you know, environments like, you know, takeaway and so forth in the current environment, and also online transacting as well, and in this time. So being flexible around those sort of opportunities is probably some of the bigger challenges. And obviously, you know, businesses are at, or individually at different stages around how they're making those adjustments.
Good. Thank you, Mr. O'Brien. Thank you. Yes, Councillor Goldman.
Mr. Mayor, I've also got a few questions. I'll condense it down to just two, though, but they might be for notice as well. I didn't pick up on the 300 businesses being contacted, which I thought was really good. But I guess my question is, how are we supporting our businesses that are outside of the city itself? So within our municipality, but not in Horsham as a city, how are we supporting them, and how many of those 300 came from the outer areas, the outlying areas? So that's my first question.
So, Brian.
Through you, Ms. Mayor, I'm happy to provide a bit more of a breakup of what those contacts look like, to give Councillor Gold or the councillors a breakup of the contacts and what sort of businesses are being supported through that process.
Thank you. Yes, Councillor Goldman.
The next one I have is, how are we looking to promote tourism into the future to boost our economy? So it kind of links to what Councillor Grimmer was asking. I just want to know, like, how are we trying to progress, and what are the businesses sort of indicating is a good way for us to progress into the future? So especially around tourism.
Okay. Mr. O'Brien.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. One of the challenges has been with tourism over the last few months is that with the different restrictions, there's been a different focus. For instance, obviously the border issues, focusing more around regional tourism. And obviously that's been, well, more statewide tourism now impacted, or obviously impacted by stage four in Melbourne, but also regional tourism has been impacted by stage three restrictions. So one of the challenges that certainly Grampians Tourism is facing is how do we remarket those marketing opportunities. And so there is opportunities, depending on what the restrictions look like, around local families visiting the region and creating those tourism opportunities locally. So there's been a lot of work done in the background around what that looks like. But obviously, before those campaigns have been rolled out, there's been changes to what's allowable in the current environment. So there's been a lot of thought about it. And also, obviously, with, you know, international travel being restricted, and not only going internationally for travel, but also travellers coming into Australia, again, really focusing on those opportunities of people within Victoria in particular, and hopefully more broadly, to provide, connect up with the tourism opportunities locally. So it's really about promoting those tourism assets locally. So that's been the main focus currently.
Good. Okay. Thank you, Mr. O'Brien. Anything else, Councillor Golvin?
I just wanted to finish off by saying, I guess it's more of an appeal, but if we can get more people shopping locally and trying to support our businesses, and that's going out to as many areas as we can. I know it's hard at the moment with restrictions, but in the next 4 weeks when this is over, I know that my family has been enjoying takeaway a lot more. I'm claiming it's for local business support rather than me being lazy. But if we can get out there and try and support local, that'd be brilliant.
Okay, thank you. I'll put the motion that it be received and noted. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, before you move off this particular item, can I put a motion forward or request that economic development be provided as an agenda item for next briefing meeting, please? I'd like to formally request that.
Yeah, that's noted. Mr. O'Brien's picked that up, as Fiona's noted it too.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to formally move that if I can, because I've got a couple of additional comments I'd like to make.
Yeah. Except so, motion, what's your motion, please?
That economic development be provided at a future briefing meeting on the agenda.
Economic development report. Okay. I move by Councillor Grimble, second by Councillor Golvin. Councillor Grimble.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, and I too agree with this report's particularly good, but it highlights some of the work that the Council's doing month by month, but it does change. But I do have some questions around, which we've all sent some correspondence of lately, is what's happening in the space of the rock climbing issues, particularly at Nanaimo and the Grampians National Park. And I think that it'd be appropriate for us to get an understanding about where that's at from an economic development and tourist perspective, as well as other questions that councillors might have. So I think it's timely, it's appropriate. There's plenty of things happening in the COVID space and our health pandemic issues. So put it on the agenda and let's have a bit of an update on a number of issues that are relevant.
I will add that we have a representative for Parks Victoria coming to address council shortly, not tonight, but a meeting is coming up pretty soon. And that certainly is high on the agenda, Councillor Grimble. So thank you for raising it. Did you want to mention anything else?
No, I just want to say that, yes, we already scheduled councillors for Parks Victoria to give an update on the Grampians Peaks Trail and also the issues with Mount Arapiles rock climbing. So that's, I think, scheduled for the first briefing in September. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Councillor Golvin, did you want to say anything?
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
All right, any speakers against the motion? Any other speakers? I'll put the motion. All those in, Councillor Power, did you want to say something?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I would. This is a great idea of Councillor Grimbles to bring this up and talk about this at a briefing, and especially getting so close down to the elections. It's really good to put it out there that what we as a council are doing or can do or will be able to do in the future in relation to, we sort of base our businesses around here in Horsham on tourism, agriculture and mining. What would be good to hear from would be how we go in relation to picking up state and federal departments to move into Horsham and to develop Horsham that way. Also, in how we are going about encouraging private industries or private businesses to come to Horsham and develop here in Horsham. We don't hear a hell of a lot about that at the moment. So in these dire straits, I would suggest that if we can look into those sort of things, tourism, agriculture and mining, as I said, are there. They're our staples. But we really need to start looking at encouraging, building and getting other people to come to Horsham, other businesses to come to Horsham and develop these that side of things to, you know, make us grow at the moment. We need to start growing. And at this time, it's a great time to be able to sit down, look at and start developing. And I was going to use the word plans, but everybody talks about plans, but we need to do a little bit more than just plan. We need to start encouraging and developing. So thanks, David, for bringing the subject up.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Councillor Power. It might also be an opportunity to invite a representative from the Wimmera Development Association to come and perhaps talk to the councillors. Josh, you attend their meetings. Did you want to throw in anything?
No, thanks, Mr. Mayor. Just a good opportunity to get someone along. I know Chris Sionis would probably jump at the opportunity to come along and speak. Yeah. So it'd be good if council could extend the invitation to him.
Okay. All right. Good. Thank you. Any further speakers? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. 9.2, Rural and Urban Roads Reconstruction Contracts. The purpose of this report is to award the contracts for the reconstruction of the following urban and rural roads. Number one, part of Albert Street and Rodder Place in Horsham in one contract. And number two, part of West Whale Road, Pimpinio, with a recommendation there, councillors. Councillor Grimble.
Mayor, so moved the recommendation as provided in the agenda, and I will read it, that council accept the tender submitted by Turfo Proprietary Limited Trading as Mitten Civil for the lump sum of $325,124 ex-GST for the reconstruction of part of Albert Street, Hennessy Street to Jones Street and Rodder Place. And two, accept the tender submitted by MF and JL Wilmore Contractors for $299,677 ex-GST for the reconstruction of part of West Whale Road, 1.2 kilometre.
Good, thank you. Seconder, please. Josh, Councillor Koenig. Thank you. Councillor Grimble.
Nothing to add, Mr. Mayor. This is a straightforward two contracts, and it's been for a review process, and it's good to see the work again being awarded to two local contractors. Nothing further to add.
Good, thank you. Councillor Koenig?
Nothing further to add, Mr. Mayor, just that it's good to see that Albert Street getting a bit of love as well. All roads are important, but the north of Horsham there, I really enjoy it when we can get across there and do the work.
Good, thank you. Any speakers against the motion? Are there any other speakers? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. We move now to item 9.3, which is the request for inclusion on Council's street name list, the name Tricky. The purpose of this report is to endorse the inclusion of the name Tricky to Council's street name list, with a recommendation there, councillors. Being moved by Councillor Clark. Thank you. And seconded by Councillor Golvin. Thank you. Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, that the Council endorse the inclusion of the name Tracy to council street name list. I know the family and knew Frank many years ago. The good family, they've been involved in Horsham in Red Cross and many other things over many years. So I think it's a fitting name to be included in on the list.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. I apologise if I've mispronounced it. So it's Tracy, is that the way you pronounced it? Yeah. Councillor Golvin.
Mr. Mayor, for me, it's I'm happy to support the motion as it stands. I just think it's a privilege to read through the history of other people's lives and the biographical achievements to be recorded. I think that's pretty cool to have. So happy to endorse this as a street name option.
Good. Thank you. Any speakers against the motion? Are there any other speakers? Yeah, I'll agree with Councillor Golan. It is an important way to recognise the historical different families in our community that have made a contribution. And we do have quite a length of all different families which are mentioned in different ways, and it makes a great read, and it's an important part of our history. I agree. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Against, that's carried. Thank you. Move now to item number 9.4, which is the Audit and Risk Charter and Committee. The purpose of this report is to adopt a new Audit and Risk Committee charter as required by the Local Government Act 2020 and to appoint the existing members of the current Audit and Risk Committee to the new committee. With a recommendation there.
Happy to move as recommended, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Robinson. Could you read it, please?
Certainly, that Council, one, discontinue the current Audit and Risk Committee's charter established under the Government Act 1989, new Audit and Risk Committee charter as per the Local Government Act 2020, as attached at Appendix number 4A, and two, appoint the following independent members to the Audit and Risk Committee, recognising their prior service noted in their letters of appointment, Richard Treat, Vito Udice and Mark Knights.
Thank you, Councillor Robinson. Someone like to second that, please? Second by Councillor, Councillor Grimble, just beat you there. Thank you. Councillor Robinson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, it's important that we have a robust process. There's a lot of councils around the state that have found themselves in trouble through not following audit processes. And one amendment I would make, though, Mr. Mayor, is on page 5, 2.29, people want to go to that, it says monitor any breaches of ethical standards and monitor the implementation of recommendations arising from the reports presented to the committee. And Mr. Mayor, I propose we include 2.29A, report any suspected fraud or corrupt behaviour to the inspectorate or IBAC as appropriate. The reason being, Mr. Mayor, is we've got a committee there with a purpose, but we've got to give them the power to actually do something when they do find corruption that cannot be reported to senior members of council, because, like a number of our councils across the state, they're the ones that are causing the bother. So it's just the insertion of 2.29A.
I'm going to stop you there for a sec, Councillor Robinson. What we need to do, if you want to... I'm not saying we can't include it, we just need to do it through the right way. So if you want to add it to the recommendation, right, we need to be clear what you want to add, and then Councillor Gribble needs to agree with you, and then we'll keep marching, otherwise we're going to have to go back a step. So if you want to clarify in a nutshell what you want to add, and then I will go to Councillor Gribble, and then I'll also go to Mr. Harrison for a comment before we open it up for debate.
Yes, all right. Mr. Mayor, I'm moving that we include section 2.29A, which reads, report any suspected fraud or corrupt behaviour to the inspectorate or IBAC as appropriate.
Okay, good, thank you. So we'll make that dot point three if you like. As an addition. Councillor Grimble, how do you feel about that?
Mr. Mayor, if Councillor Robinson could reread that point again, please. I've just got to the page.
Yep. Thank you. Councillor Robinson?
Yes. So what I'm recommending or moving is on page 5, Councillor Grimble. Two new section under 2.29 is 2.29A for Alpha. Report any suspected fraud.
He's frozen. I think he's frozen. Councillor Robertson's frozen. Fiona's got it here. So would you like to read what you've got, Fiona, please? Councillor Grimble.
To include 2.29A, report any suspected fraud or corrupt behaviour to the Inspectorate or IBAC as appropriate.
Okay. Councillor Robertson's back with us. Okay. Before I open up the debate, Mr. Harrison, did you want to make any comments about having this addition?
Through you, no, Mr. Mayor, no comments. That sounds reasonable. In terms of the numbering, that's all we just... But we can include those words in if that's...
Good. Okay, thank you. So, Councillor Robertson, I'll invite you to speak to it. If we've got you, you seem to be frozen again.
Mr. Mayor, I'm certainly having some technical issues at this end. Mr. Mayor, can you hear me?
I can. We can now, yes.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, my point with this is if the committee do detect suspected fraud or corrupt behaviour, we need to give them a view. We've seen this sort of activity at the senior levels in a number of councils. May be the case, and we hope not, that the audit committee can't go to the CEO or can't go to the mayor or senior councillors because they're the ones involved in the fraud or corrupt behaviour. So we have to give them the actual vehicle to actually take the matter forward.
Yeah, good, thank you. Your connection is a bit dicky there, but I think we got the gist of that. Thank you very much. Councillor Grimble, as a seconder.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, I'm happy to support the inclusion from Councillor Robinson. It would certainly be my expectation that the Audit Committee would certainly deal with any matter that they saw appropriate. And that would be, I think, the comments that Councillor Robinson had included in something that the Audit Committee would do by way of nature. But what I wanted to say was this document has been reviewed by the Audit Committee and they did make some minor word shopping, so they've got their approval of the document. But I did want to concentrate just on the second point and just acknowledge the contribution of the members that we're reappointing and acknowledging their prior service. So currently, our chair, as you highlighted during question time, Mr. Trigg is our current chair, but our other two members, Vito Gudis and Mark Knight, certainly bring a lot of experience, expertise to that group, and that's well noted in the comments that they make, Mr. Mayor, so I'm happy to support the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Grimble. And I note, if I get it correctly, Councillor Grimble, you've served on the Audit Committee for 12 years, is that right?
Mr. Mayor, yes, I have served probably the longer serving Audit Committee member, but just as a role as either a mayor when I held that term or as a councillor, but certainly I have seen a number of our audit members come and go, but all of them have provided excellent service to this council, and the current independent members certainly uphold the values that have been held in the past.
Good. All right. Very good. Thank you, Councillor Grimble. Okay. Any speakers against the recommendation? Any other speakers for? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. We move now to item 9.5, which is council expenses policy. The purpose of this report is to adopt the council expenses policy, or the recommendation there, which has been moved by Councillor Koenig and seconded by Councillor Clark. Councillor Koenig.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Recommendation has stated that council adopt the council expenses policy attached as appendix 9.58.
Good, thank you. Would you like to say anything else?
Nothing further from me on that one. Pretty straightforward. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think it just is a bit of an update on the kind of policies we've had in the past, but this refines it even more according to the Act. So happy to move it as it is.
Good, thank you. Any speakers against the motion? Any other speakers? I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Mr. Mayor, before you do...
Yes, Councillor Grimble.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm happy to support the council expenses policy, but I'm happy to provide a supplementary motion, but I believe that given the fact that we're on the verge of a new council, that in the document control, the review date, which is listed the 27th of August 2022, should remain, but we also should provide an opportunity in the document control for this to be reviewed within 6 months of the new council. I'm happy to move that as an additional motion, but I believe it's imperative that the new council actually have a look at their own expenses policy and make sure it's consistent with the way they want to operate.
So, well, rather than do it through an amendment process, Councillor Grimble, I might treat them as two separate things. So if we adopt the policy, and then if you wanted to move that second part about reviewing it, I'm happy to do it in two stages.
That's fine. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So I've got a mover of Councillor Koenig, seconded by Councillor Clark. Any other speakers? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. And Councillor Grimble.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move that we incorporate the opportunity for a new council to review our council expenses policy within 6 months of being elected.
Okay. Just wait till Ms. Kelly types that up for us. Agree with that? Okay. All right. Moved by Councillor Grimble, seconded by Councillor Clark. Councillor Grimble.
Oh, nothing really to add, Mr. Mayor. I think the review date's still there. It's the 27th of August 2022, but this provides an opportunity for a new council to review the document within 6 months. It will be their expenses policy, so it's it just creates an opportunity for the officers to provide that to a new council.
Thank you.
Further that.
Well, thank you, Councillor Clark.
I just think it also gives the new councillors an opportunity to really learn about the expenses policy. I know that it can be quite complex sometimes, and you can get yourself into a lot of trouble if you really don't understand these kinds of policies. It's really important to your credibility to understand this kind of policy for your own ethical well-being. So I think it's a good idea within the first 6 months that councillors actually review it and understand it completely. Thank you.
Good, thank you. Any speakers against the motion? Any other speakers? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. Okay, move now to item 9.6, New Local Government Act 2020 Delegated Committees. The purpose of this report is to note the changes to council committees arising from the New Local Government Act 2020 and to create a community asset committee for all council halls and appoint the initial members. It's quite a lengthy recommendation there, councils, but there it is before you. Would someone like to move that, please?
Mr. Mayor, before you do, can I ask a question to Mr. O'Brien, please?
Sure.
Thank you. I noticed in the recommendation that it's got representatives from each of the halls listed. My question is, should it have or identify someone that is substituting if those people aren't available?
Okay, thank you. Is that a Mr. O'Brien question or Mr. Harrison question? Who's your report set?
Might be Mr. Harrison, I think.
Right, thank you. Fine. Mr. Harrison?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I can't answer that in terms of what the delegation says. I'll just have to have a quick look, but I'm unaware of how we deal with that proxy. So I'd have to just have a look. It'll be in the delegation to the committee from the CEO. So the easiest way to if it's not there, would be to add it in there that they could have appointed a proxy to attend.
Okay. Well, Councillor Grimble?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, my question is really trying to assist the process and not make it uncomplicated, but if there's an opportunity, if one of those members as listed is unavailable, they can actually appoint someone to act in their place, that's all. And I'm sure that each of those committees would have someone that would be able to take their place if they're unavailable for some reason. So just a question on notice, but I'm sure that Mr. Harris will probably provide an answer.
Okay. All right, thank you. So I have a recommendation here, councillors. I'm happy to move it. The council, from the date of this resolution, establish a community asset committee, the community halls asset committee, and endorse that. A, the purpose of the committee is to manage the day-to-day operations of council's community halls, including Dadswell's Bridge Hall, Hamilton Lamb Memorial Hall, Jung Hall, Laharam Hall, Mitre Hall, Nadimuk Community Centre, Nadimuk and District Soldiers Memorial Hall, Sailors Home Hall, Taylor's Lake Hall, and Talangatuk East Hall. B, the members of the committee to be appointed are Dadswell's Bridge, Mr. Daryl Dusher, Hamilton Lamb Memorial Hall, Ms. Susan Hogan, Jung Hall, Mr. David Arnott, Laharam Hall, Ms. Judy Berenson, Mitre Hall, Ms. Claire Dung, Nadimuk Soldiers Memorial Hall, Ms. Glenys Fort, Nadimuk Community Centre, Mr. Kieran Loughran, Sailors Home Hall, Mr. Robert Byrne, Taylor's Lake Hall, Ms. Susan Flanagan, and Talangatuk East Hall, Mr. Luke Rees. C, a quorum of the committee is 6, a whole number that is an absolute majority, which is greater than half the total of members of the committee. And finally, D, all members of the committee have voting rights on the committee. Moved by myself. Someone like to second that, please. Seconded by Councillor Clark. The thing I'd just like to say is, A, how important these halls are, and B, just want to acknowledge what the great work that all these volunteers do, have done over many, many years. Some of these halls are over 100 years old, and they've been faithfully looked after by these committees. The system is changing slightly, but regardless of that, our local representatives there on the ground, we need to acknowledge their work and thank you for it. And moving forward, I think this is going to be a little bit easier to administer, certainly under the new regime which we're putting in place tonight. Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was involved right at the beginning when this committee was first installed, and every committee used to have to have an AGM, and they had to fill out all their accounts and bookwork, and it was just so overwhelming for a lot of these volunteer committees, plus looking after their halls, doing all the work around the halls, raising money for maintenance and things like that. So this takes a lot of those onerous requirements off the members of the committee, of the committees and the halls, and they can just go about running their halls and enjoying the experience of getting together and the social environment of managing those halls. Council has taken off all of those onerous requirements that were on these people. So it's been a wonderful opportunity to be involved with some wonderful volunteers who volunteered for many, many years, and they're all passionate about their community halls. So to support them in this way under this regime is just such a wonderful thing to do for our small rural communities.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Any speakers against the recommendation? Any other speakers? Councillor Robinson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't believe I have a conflict. I just want to put on record my wife's involved with the Taylor's Lake Hall Committee.
Okay, thank you. Any other speakers? Councillor Power.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I just going through the halls there, and I just happened to notice Haven Hall and Pimpinio. And have they got halls or they haven't got halls? How come they're not mentioned?
Okay. Thank you. Who's Mr. Harrison, do you have a comment about Haven and Pimpinio, please?
Yes, Pimpinio doesn't have a hall. In terms of Haven, I'm not entirely sure. We'll have to take that one on notice. And
Mr. Mayor, I can respond on behalf of Haven. Haven's actually a committee. We councillors are committee of management. We actually manage those inquiries directly. So there's not a committee in place to administer Haven. It's directly managed by council. So it's a different arrangement than those other committee, those other halls. It's not under that arrangement.
Yeah. We have the Haven Advisory Committee, which we sit on for that. That's the whole precinct. Yeah. Okay. Mr. Harrison.
Yes, through you, Mr. Mayor. Just in relation to Councillor Grimble's query, there is indeed an arrangement in the delegation that a member of the committee can, if they are unable to attend the meeting, can request prior to the meeting by email or in writing that a proxy representative be entitled to vote at the meeting. So there is that arrangement in place.
Good. Okay. Thank you. We appreciate that. Thank you. Any other speakers? I'll put the motion.
Mr. Mayor, the question that was asked by Councillor Power to Mr. O'Brien, I'm assuming that's relevant also to Naraja of Canagog and Brimpane.
Very good, Doug.
It depends. Sorry, Graham, do you want to answer
that? Mr. Harrison.
Either me or you. Through you, Mr. Mayor, yeah, in relation to those other halls, they are actually not council halls. They are halls that have direct committee of management with DELWIP, so they have their own separate governance structures under DELWIP.
Good, thank you. Okay, any further speakers or questions? Okay, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. Okay, 9.7, delegations update. The purpose of this report is to approve updates to council's delegations to staff with changes arising for the medics lawyers delegation service and for any new and changed position titles or responsibilities that have occurred. There's four parts to the recommendation, councillors.
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to move the recommendation, but there is one delegation that I believe that I'd like council to consider removing from the CEO, and I have raised that, so I'm happy to move the recommendation as provided with the addition of a delegation to the CEO, which I'd like to be awarded back to the council.
So do you want to make that dot point five?
Is that the document's complete, Mr. Mayor, but if it assists in the process, I can go straight to the delegation I'm talking about. It was the one I spoke to a week ago. It's the power to name a road or change the name of a road that currently sits with the Chief Executive Officer. I believe it should sit with the council.
Yeah, do you have a number, Councillor Grimble, in front of you?
Yes, I do. It's on page 79 of 91, and it's S118 in brackets. It's under the Road Management Act.
All right, good. Thank you. S118.
Correct. And I'll read it to you, Mr. Mayor. It's power to name a road or change the name of a road by publishing notice in the Government Gazette, and that delegation currently sits with the Chief Executive Officer. And it was last updated on the 4th of the 11th, 2013. I believe that should sit with the council and the power of a resolution to change the name of a road or name a road.
All right. So before I ask, I'll do what I did before. I'll call for a seconder and then I'll ask Mr. Bowler to make a comment and then we can have a debate. Okay. So would someone like to second that, please? Seconded by Councillor Power. Mr. Bowler, do you have a comment?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I agree. Any renaming of the roads that should come to council, because there is a public exhibition process involved, which means that we have to invite submissions, and those submissions can only be considered by council. The only thing I'm thinking of is the naming of the subdivision roads. This is a new roads created as part of Greenfield subdivision. So I'm actually not sure whether Mr. Harrison can actually clarify that if he's got the delegations in front of him, because that's a separate process, you know, under the Subdivision Act.
Mr. Harrison, do you have anything to add there about the naming of roads in subdivisions?
Should we make a comment, Mr.
I'm actually just trying to look up the legislation as you're speaking.
So what are you doing now? I might throw to Mr. Martin. Mr. Martin, do you have a comment?
Yes, thanks, Mr. Mayor. I think where Mr. Bale is going is that those names are normally chosen by the developer from the approved list of names that council has already approved. Is the intent with a lot of new developments.
Right, okay. Right, that answers that question. Yeah, okay. Mr. Bowles had a comment. So, Mr. Councillor Grimble, I'll throw it over to you now to commence the debate, please.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I haven't read the recommendation, but it is as presented with that slight change. These delegations come up from time to time, and they're important that we go through them. We update them, and there's always been a concentration on particularly new delegations, but I also go through the delegations to see if there's one that's relevant. And I believe that this one that I've identified to change the name of a road in particular, if there was a name of, if that was a scenario that was presented to any council, I'm sure that you would get a range of views around what that might look like. And to address that issue, I believe that what I'd like to see is a report come up to council and that decision sit with a resolution of council. I think it assists the CEO in his role as well. So the rest look relatively straightforward. It's important we've got delegations to staff, and the list has been presented to council in the past, and I believe this is just a formality.
Thank you, Councillor Grimble. Councillor Power.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think Councillor Grimble summed it up nicely.
Any speakers against the recommendation? Any other speakers? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. Nine point 8 is governance rules. The purpose of this report is to adopt Horsham Rural City Council governance rules as prescribed under Section 60 of the Local Government Act 2020. There's a recommendation there, councillors, which is being moved by Councillor Clark, thank you, and seconded by Councillor Goulburn, thank you. Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The council adopt the governance rules attached as Appendix 9.8A.
All right, would you like to speak to that?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. These governance rules really come from a template by Maddox Lawyers. These laws, these rules have been out for public comment, and we've had comments back. We've had opportunities for the community to comment. They've come back. We've made, we've made quite a few changes according to the feedback from the community, which has been excellent. And I think that now we have a really good document. And I think the reason we went with Maddox Lawyers is that it is clear, it is easy to understand, and it covers all aspects of our governance. So I'm very happy to move this motion, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Goulburn.
Mr. Mayor, nothing further to add.
Well, thank you. Speakers against the motion?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to foreshadow an amendment to the motion, please.
Do you want to move an amendment?
I do.
There you go.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm happy to support that we adopt the governance rules with a slight change in the wording, and the wording is on Chapter 7, Election Period Policy, at 4.1, Major Policy Decisions. And I'd like to delete the sentence after decisions to enter into entrepreneurial ventures, So I'm deleting the words that are valued at more than $266,850, which is 1% of council's revenue from rates levied for 2018-19. And I'd also like to include in the document control the opportunity for a new council to review this document.
Okay, so I might have to pause the meeting. Fiona is just taking this down. So how are you going? Ask Councillor Gribble to read it again. Okay, so what you're proposing, Councillor Gribble, is an amendment. And could you read your amendment, please, once more?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. What I'm alluding to do is I'm wanting to change the wording in the policy. There's two elements of this. One is in Chapter 7, Election Period Policy. I'm wanting to delete at Major Policy Decisions 4.1.1, third dot point. Which references, it actually references a dollar amount. I believe we should take that reference out. And I'd like to incorporate in the document control the opportunity for a new council to review this document.
So what I'm going to do, what I think we might do is let's deal with the amendment and then we might come back to the bid for the next council as a separate motion. Would you be happy with that?
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Okay, because otherwise it's going to get a bit messy, I think. I'm mainly interested that we get the...
Yeah, all good.
Did you want to read it back, what you've got? You happy? Okay, I've got Fiona sitting here just taking notes. I want to get it right. So I'm going to throw to the mover and the seconder, if you're happy with that, to include that. If you're not, we'll debate it. Okay, so Councillor Clark, are you happy with that?
No, Mr. Mayor, I'm not happy with that.
Okay, all right. So what we're going to do now is have a debate on Councillor Grimble's amendment. Okay, so I should focus your attention on we're debating Councillor Grimble's amendment. Councillor Grimble.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And there is a additional one that I will include, which relates to this rescission motion as well. But I've had a review of this document, and what I believe I picked up in the election period policy, which is currently a very short timeline between when this council cannot make decisions beyond its control before a new council is elected. And there's a line item that says major policy decisions. And in the first part of that preamble, it talks about decisions related to the employment or remuneration of a chief and executive officer. I think that's very clear. It talks about decisions to enter into contracts that are valued at more than $266,850 for the purpose of goods or services. I believe that is very clear. It also talks about decisions to enter into entrepreneurial ventures that are valued at more than $266,850. So my reading, Mr. Mayor, is that this council can enter into an entrepreneurial venture less than $266,000. I don't understand what the definition is of an entrepreneurial venture. And I believe if this council is to embark on an entrepreneurial venture late in this council term, that decision should be held over to a new council. So I'm wanting that element deleted. And while I'm talking, I'll talk about the rescission motion as well, is I believe that we should remain the status quo of our rescission motion very clearly. Okay. Our local laws are important to us. And the opportunity afforded by a rescission motion is a very strategic tactical manoeuvre in a meeting when a councillor identifies their procedural thing.
Yeah, I'm going to have to... Sorry, David. Sorry, Councillor. I'm going to have to stop you there. We need to deal with this. What started off as one amendment now is merging into two. Okay? So you moved your first amendment and I asked Councillor Clark if she was happy with that. She said she wasn't. So we're now having a debate on this first amendment. If you want to do a second amendment, we can do that, but we need to do that separately. It's quite possible that Councillor Clark might agree with your second amendment.
So, Mr. Mayor, point of order, my amendment doesn't need the approval of Councillor Clark. nor either other councillor needs a seconder, and we debate the amendment on its merits. You are right. I've introduced an additional part of amendment, but it has nothing to do with Councillor Clark.
Yeah, so the two parts of the amendment, one is around the deletion of that third dot point under 4.1.
Okay, so what we're going to do, I want to get this right, so I'm going to suspend standing orders, please. I want to get this right. Could someone move that we suspend standing orders, please? Councillor Koenig and Councillor Power, all those in favour? Against, that's carried. Thank you. For the people watching, we just... Councillor Clark, thank you. All those in favour? Against? Carried. Okay, so we're back on channel. Okay, so Councillor Grimble, just need a seconder for your motion, your amendment, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Given the fact that you didn't have an assender, I'd like to now incorporate that second dot point in my original amendment.
Yep, we can do that. Yeah, we can do that. So can you just read the wording so Ms. Kelly gets it correct, please?
It's actually just word shopping, but I like the rescission motion to remain the status quo, which is currently in place.
Just have to go to the amendment section.
Do you want me to read?
Yeah, you've got that. The rescission motion. So. Yeah. Yep. So Fiona's going to read it for us, what she's got.
Mr. Mayor, I'm talking about retaining the rescission motion in our current document rather than the new policy which is outlined, which requires three councillors to sign.
Yep, correct. Yep, okay. Could you read what you've got, please, Fiona? If it's wrong, we'll change it.
Yep, okay. So the amendment was to delete the third dot point.
Yeah.
So that dot point is decisions to enter into entrepreneurial ventures that are valued at more than $266,850, which is 1% of council's revenue from rates levied for 2018-19, and to also include an opportunity for the new council to review this policy.
Okay, right. And then if the second part to it, Councillor Gribble wants to include the second part, which is about the rescission motion, okay, which is to retain the rescission motion rules as we have it, effectively.
Yeah, so I think it's probably a better way to word it, Mr. Mayor, would be that, I'm just looking at the new governance rules, section 44.1, which says that a councillor may propose a notice of rescission motion provided it has been signed and edited by at least three councillors. So what Councillor Grimble is alluding to, as I understand, is that a councillor may propose a notice of rescission provided it has been signed and dated by at least one councillor. So am I correct, Councillor Grimble?
Yes, that's correct, Mr. Ballard. That would pick up my issues.
Yeah. I understand this.
And Mr. Mayor, if I can pick up on Ms. Kelly, in the major policy decisions, the first part of that line item can stay. So decisions to enter into entrepreneurial ventures, full stop, can be retained in the document. It's only the dollar figure that I want taken out.
The dollar figure, good.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. All right. And the other alteration is as far as rescission motions, that instead of three councillors, it's the word is one councillor. I think we've got that, Councillor Grimble. Thank you. Okay, so we need this is still an amendment. Okay, so Councillor Grimble's moved his amendment. I need a seconder for his amendment, please, which is Councillor Robertson. Thank you. Now, Councillor Grimble, you can speak to your amendment, please.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I think the crux of the document's okay. It's a little bit of word chopping, a little bit of tidying up, a little bit of housekeeping from my perspective. It's important also that the new council have an opportunity to review this document, the document control, and this paves the way for them to not only understand the document but also have a review to see if it still meets their requirements. In relation to the rescission motion, I believe the rescission motion is an important strategic opportunity that each individual councillor has when it's used in an appropriate way. And as far as major policy decisions, which I highlighted, this council should not enter into entrepreneurial ventures less than $266,000 in the very short period of time. It should be afforded to a new council. And I'm not sure of the definition of what an entrepreneurial venture actually is. But the other element that remains in the document relates to the employment or remuneration of the CEO. That's clearly understood, and it allows the opportunity for decision to enter into contracts, which is also important, but it's under a threshold. So this is just tidying up what I believe is an anomaly, Mr. Mayor, and I'm very cautious about entering into entrepreneurial ventures when I don't know what that means at any dollar value.
Thank you. Councillor Robertson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In relation to the entrepreneurial matter, I think that speaks for itself. In relation to the rescission motion, Mr. Mayor, is for all intents and purposes a form of a notice of motion. The rules that apply to a notice of motion should apply to a rescission motion. And the issue with having three signatories, Mr. Mayor, means there's been an element of decision making made before the rescission motion comes to council, which should not be the case. Any single councillor should be able to put something up and then it gets debated on its merits. So happy to support Councillor Grimble.
Thank you. Speakers against the motion, against the amendment. Councillor Quayle.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We've seen over the last nearly 4 years this.
Can't hear you, Councillor.
We have seen over the last nearly 4 years just the most amazing disrespect for governance. To make major decisions like this on such an important document at the last minute, when we've had discussions on this, we've all had an opportunity to look over the document. To wordsmith a document in a council meeting is so disruptive and disrespectful to the process. We should not be tidying up documents when it gets
order, Mr. Mayor.
Meeting.
Councillor Robertson, can you please let the councillor speak? What's the point of
order? I have a point of order, Mr. Mayor.
What's the point of order?
Mr. Mayor, the councillor's quite entitled to speak, but she need not be derogatory towards councillors who are exercising their right to engage in this meeting process. Just simply issue without getting emotional and attacking. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I'm saying the process is disrespectful to governance, to this meeting, to the way that we operate as a council. To wordsmith a document in a council meeting is just not on. We've had the community have had their 21 days period to look at the document, to comment and bring it back. We've reviewed it again. We've made changes. It is not the time to bring back changes like this. The rescind motion is put there for a reason by the state government in their new act, deliberately to stop blocking, to stop disruption of council processes and procedures.
Point of order.
Councillor Grimble.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Clark's alluding to this document that is actually put in place by the state government. It's my understanding that this is our document and it's up for us to endorsing it. So I'm not sure that it has been endorsed by the state government. Am I misunderstanding this this report, Mr. Mayor? Maybe some clarification on that, please.
This is our document, Councillor Grimble. I'm very aware of that.
Mr. Mayor, I have a point of order which I've asked you to clarify.
Yeah, okay.
Is this a state government appointed document? That's what Councillor Clark alluded to. I don't believe that's the case.
Thank you, Mr. Butler.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. It is a council document, and it has been developed, as Councillor Clark alluded to earlier by Maddox, so using the template, and it does reflect, what is considered as the best practice in the local government sector.
Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor,
point of order. I was actually asking the question. This document that Councillor Clark has alluded to, she's saying that it is a state government endorsed document. In actual fact, it is our document. It's got nothing to do with the state government, providing we comply with the Act. So I'm asking for clarification on that, please.
So Harrison, did you want to add anything to what Mr. Bowler said?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, no. What Councillor Grimble and Mr. Bowler have said is correct. The procedures are our procedures. What's legislated is that we have to have procedures.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I've got the VLGA document in front of me at the moment. I can...
That won't be necessary. Thank you, Councillor Robinson. Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do agree this is our document, but I do agree that there are reasons for some of these changes, and one with the rescission motion is that we don't have situations where we have constantly rescinded documents, which blocks and disrupts the process of council. So I think that the rules and regulations that we do have are appropriate. I think this document's appropriate for our future. And I think that we should be progressing with it as it is, because a lot of work's gone into this document by council staff, by councillors, by the community, and this is not the time to make changes. This is the time to endorse the work that's gone on and proceed with this document. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Right. Any other speakers for the amendment? Any other speakers against the amendment? Councillor Grimble, you have a right of reply.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Can I start off by saying that Councillor Clark alludes to poor governance and indeed last-minute decisions, yet only a couple of agenda items ago she applauded my opportunity I put forward to allowing a new council to review this document. In actual fact, I think some councillors probably need to get some new material, Mr. Mayor. This is the decision-making of council to which I've been elected to make decisions upon. And if this document requires some slight amendments, only slight amendments, before indeed I adopt it, this is the time to do that, Mr. Mayor. This is around governance and leadership. If there's an anomaly or something that needs to be corrected. What the office has put up, Mr. Mayor, is a report for the councillors to consider and consider whether indeed they adopt it or not adopt it. I'm happy to adopt this document with a slight change in the wording to suit what I'm looking for, and indeed not binding a new council in the work that they might choose to do. So indeed, that is my role, and I do take some issue with being challenged consistently around some sort of governance process that indeed this council is conducting a transparent and orderly conduct of his business. And every time I do something like that, which is my right as a councillor, what I've been elected to do, Mr. Mayor, and get some sort of commentary around governance. In actual fact, this is the meeting to do that, Mr. Mayor. This is governance. And it's my opportunity as a councillor to put forward that proposal. So I'm encouraging councillors, if indeed you choose not to support the amendment, which hopefully will become the motion, you'll actually deny an opportunity for a new council to review this document, which has been put forward by this council, that's saying you should actually have a look at the document. Councillor Clark, only a couple of agenda items ago, said, what a great idea. A new council should come in and understand the document. Well, that's exactly what I'm saying to this council group. That's exactly what we should be doing. And in the past, our meeting procedure has stood us in good stead, Mr. Mayor. The issue we have is councillors fully understanding the opportunities afforded to them in a meeting environment that allows them to construct themselves in the business of council. So there's no significant issues with supporting my amendment, and I encourage the councillors to do so. I believe that Councillor Clark is scaremongering the other councillors, and I urge you to support the amendment, Mr. Mayor, and other councillors.
Thank you. Now, put the vote. This is for the amendment.
Mr. Mayor, I have a question, sorry.
Yes, you can ask a question.
Can a new council request for this document, this policy, to be brought forward at their convenience? So if they chose to have it at a briefing meeting whenever they wanted, is that a possibility to them?
Yeah, certainly. That's possible, Councillor Goldman. Yep. Thank you. I'll put the. This is the amendment we're voting on. All those in favour, please signify clearly. All those against? Most of the amendments lost, which takes us back to the debate on the recommendation. Councillor Clark has spoken and Councillor Goldman has spoken. Are there any speakers against the recommendation? Councillor Grimble.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to talk very strongly against our governance rules. In actual fact, they've been produced in a way that I believe they will hinder a new council and the way they operate. My opportunity I was trying to afford, which Councillor Goldman has picked up, indeed, is to this council to actually resolve to allow them to review the document prior to the 1st of October 2023. There was no obligation for the office to provide this document over and above an endorsed position. Indeed, if they choose to do so. And when a newly elected council comes into being, they won't necessarily know all the documents for review. So I believe it's pertinent for this council to provide that opportunity to them. In relation to rescission motions and other opportunities provided to council, I have seen over the period of this council, 4 years, which indeed has seen our community satisfaction plummet to a level that is really quite troubling. But I've never supported, Mr. Mayor, reducing our meeting frequencies. I never supported losing the opportunity as an individual council to freely speak my mind. I've been able to do that. I've challenged that process with the community in a way that I've upheld the way I've been operating. And I humbly understand and appreciate the support that's given to me over a period of time. I believe comments that are made in this chamber are scaremongering councillors into believing that this is some sort of governance or poor governance. I hear this material often all the time, Mr. Mayor. In actual fact, that's all it is. And if councillors choose to use that same continual line, they actually need to get some new material in their debating tactics, because I've heard it time and time over again, and that's all it is. I almost should block my ears off to the comments, Mr. Mayor. For us to set the parameters around the way we operate and then be bound by some processes that restrict our democratic right is not acceptable in my mind, and I do not support the governance rules as provided to this council in its entirety. Most of the documents are okay. It just needs a fine tune, Mr. Mayor. That's what I was trying to do. That's what Councillor Clark was alluding I shouldn't do by scaremongering the other councillors. And I believe that in some ways it's disappointing that my amendment was lost. I do not support the governance rules as provided by this council for a new council. What we're doing is telling our new council, how to operate. We've got to comply with the Act, but we should allow them to review that, and we should set that date, Mr. Mayor. I'm extremely disappointed that the council hasn't understood what I was alluding to in my debate.
Thank you. Any other speakers for the recommendation? Well, I'm happy to say a couple of words. First of all, I would actually be encouraging the new council, once they've settled down, whether it takes 6 months or however long it takes, to review this particular policy. So certainly they have the opportunity to do that, which has just been told that. So I would certainly encourage the new council to review this policy in the way they operate. No doubt about that. I don't support the changes to the rescission motion. In fact, having removed the rescission motion before, I understand the way it's done, and it can be a lonely thing to do, standing there on your own. I've been there, done that, as other councillors have. But I think to fall in line and follow a more traditional path with the way this particular item is dealt with, I think might be a good thing for this council. But having said that, as we just agreed, that the new council can have a look at the way the whole thing works. And if things need to be changed, that flexibility is there. That is an opportunity for the new council. So I'm happy to support tonight's
recommendation.
Mr. Mayor, do you intend to ask any others who wish to speak?
Yes, I'm just about to do that. Thank you, Councillor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Are there any other speakers against the recommendation? Councillor Robinson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I support the comments made by Councillor Grimble. And just by way of clarity, looking at the model rules, they provide for one signatory for a notice of rescission, one, not three. That's in the model rules put out by government. Mr. Mayor,
point of order, if I may, please.
What's the point of order, Councillor Grimble?
I've lost visual contact with Councillor Powell. I'm not sure where he actually is. Oh, he's back again. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I couldn't see Councillor Power. He disappeared off the screen.
Councillor Robertson, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As I was saying, that the notice of rescission is only required to be signed by one person in the model rules put out by government at 10.15 under notices of rescission. So just to clarify that. Mr. Mayor, this council over 4 years, with its way it's handled governance, has seen the community satisfaction survey take us to a historically low point. When I look at the rules that we are proposing to adopt tonight and compare them with the model governance rules, I think they're chalk and cheese in terms of engaging with the community. We have, for 4 years, hidden behind legal advice and process, and the next council, and I would hope that I'm able to be part of it, would almost certainly want to change these rules very, very quickly if we're to actually gain the confidence of our community, which we've absolutely lost over an extended period of time. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Any other speakers for the recommendation? Any other speakers against? Councillor Clark, you have a right of reply.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think that this would be one of the first documents that the new council would have to understand to actually operate as a council. So they should know this document before they even get elected or very soon after, so they understand the process and the workings of council. And it is up to the new council when they want to review it. If they want to review it, it is up to them. And so I have no problem with this motion moving forward. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, can I just ask for a clarification just in relation to the document control?
Certainly.
So this document that's now adopted, the document control tells me it's going to be reviewed on the 1st of October 2023. That's the expectation of the document control. Is that correct?
Mr. Harrison?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, that's correct.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have no further questions.
Mr. Harrison?
I was just going to say the Act does allow it to be reviewed at any time. Obviously, maintaining consistency in rules is a good process as well.
Okay. So I suppose the comment then is probably around the other way. So what you're saying is the Act says that it can be reviewed at any time, and by putting the date in the back of it is perhaps a maximum time before it would be reviewed.
Correct. Okay. The date is the time that you would review it if you haven't looked at it any other time.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Item 9.9 is the request for a reserve to be named after the late Jack Shear. The purpose of this report is to declare its intention to name a reserve on Marden Drive, Horsham, as Jack Shear Reserve. Recommendation there, councillors? Moved by Councillor Koenig, thank you. Seconded by Councillor Radford. Councillor Koenig.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. So as stated on the agenda, I support the recommendation that Council 1 declare its intention to name a portion of the reserve alongside Burnt Creek on Marden Drive, Horsham, after the late Jack Shear as Jack Shear Reserve. Point two, seek community comment on the proposed naming of the reserve.
Thank you. Would you like to speak to it, Josh?
Just quickly, I'd be really interested to see the community comment on this proposal. Through my professional life, came across Jack and his son Stephen, and I think it's a great story. And Jack and his wife Olive did a lot of fantastic things for the Horsham community and wider in the disability services field in particular. So I think it's a really good story behind it, and it goes in line with Councillor Goulburn talking about the stories behind the street names as well. I think this is great, and we'll see what the community says. But I think it's a nice story.
Thank you, Josh. I agree. It had a little bit to do with Jack and his family, I understand, if I remember rightly, Jack himself suffered from polio as a young fella, so he had some challenges, but a true Australian character. I fully support the idea of what's proposed tonight, somewhere along there in that vicinity where he used to live, in that area, the Jack Shear Reserve. So I'm happy to support that tonight. Are there any speakers against the recommendation? Any other speakers? I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. Moving on to item 9.10, which is the public transparency policy. The purpose of this report is to adopt the public transparency policy. Recommendation there, which has been moved by Councillor Clark, thank you, and seconded by Councillor Koenig, thank you. Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, that the Council adopt the public transparency policy attached as Appendix 9.10A.
Good. Would you like to speak to it, please?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Again, this document has been worked on for quite some time. It has gone out for 21 days for community feedback, and we've received that. So I think, again, the document is a very solid document with a lot of work that's gone in behind it by councillors, by staff, by the community. So I'm happy to support this document, Mr. Mayor.
Well, thank you. Councillor Koenig?
No, nothing further, Mr. Mayor.
Speakers against the motion? Councillor Robertson.
Mute.
Can't hear you, Councillor. Can't hear you. You're on mute, Councillor.
Yes, I'm not sure how that... Can you hear me now, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move an amendment to the motion, if I may.
Yep.
That items 4.6.2.1, 2.2 and 2.3 be removed.
Could you read the numbers out again, please?
Yes, certainly, Mr. Mayor. 4.6.2.1, 4.6.2.2 and 4.6.2.3, there being no power to include them in this policy document.
All right, so I think before I call for a seconder, I think you perhaps need to read each one out for us, please.
Yes, certainly, Mr. Mayor. That the following sections be removed: 4.6.2.1. Council information will not be made publicly available if doing so would be contrary to the public interest. 4.6.2.2, when assessing whether making certain council information publicly available would be contrary to the public interest, the Chief Executive Officer will have regard to, among other things, A, the sensitivity the council information, B, whether the council information comprises a draft or otherwise is no longer current, and C, any adverse effect that releasing the council information would have on the effectiveness of council decision-making processes, and 4.6.2.3, without limiting clause 4.6.2, and it's got 20, that's meant to be just 2, so 4.6.2.2, factors that might lead to a decision that the release of council information is contrary to the public interest might include whether the release would be likely to A, disclose personal information or health information, B, disclose information or opinions of a preliminary nature such that they might, one, mislead the community with respect to council's position on a matter, or two, have a substantial adverse effect on the economy of the municipal district, C, prejudice discussions or negotiations between council and any other party in relation to a contract, legal proceedings, or any other matter, D, impair or otherwise impact on, one, council's ability to obtain information in future that is similar in nature to the council information, two, negotiations with respect to employment arrangements for officers, or three, defence, prosecution, and settlement of legal proceedings, or E, impact on the reasonable allocation of council's resources, including in responding to requests for council information that are assessed by the Chief Executive Officer as being frivolous, vexatious, or repetitious in nature. That's the motion, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, and just in summary then, so your amendment is to move the policy but have those sections removed.
Correct.
Well, Mr. Harrison, before I ask you to speak to it, Mr. Harrison, do you have any comments?
Yes, through you, Mr. Mayor. The first item referred to, I've just got to get under 4.6.2.1, which was council information will not be made publicly available if doing so would be contrary to the public interest, is in fact one of the principles in the Act. So to remove that would be to not be applying the principle in the Act. In relation to the disclosures, the statements around personal and private information, I would have to seek, what would be the consequences of not having those in there. So I'm not able to provide a comment at this point.
Okay, all right, thank you. Councillor Robertson, you need a seconder. So would someone like to second Councillor Robertson's motion, please? Okay, Councillor Robertson, your motion lapses due to lack of a seconder.
Yes, ma'am.
So I'll throw back to you, Councillor Robertson. I listed you as a speaker against it. So did you want to speak any more against it?
No, Mr. Mayor. Just to make the comment that confidential information is defined at 4.6 and none of those items are listed in what is confidential information. So the Act is quite specific as to what can be withheld. We're going beyond that with the definitions that I endeavoured to withdraw, but that's a matter perhaps that the next council can take up, and I'll certainly be happy to do that if I'm in that position.
Thank you. Any other speakers for the motion, the adoption of the policy? Any other speakers for the motion? Any other speakers against the motion? Councillor Grimble.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I appreciate the comments made by Councillor Robertson, but the public transparency policy which we're looking at currently is certainly a focus of the state government, and through the Local Government Act there, they have an expectation that indeed local government actually improve their processes in transparency, and that's a key factor of what we're looking at. But to me, I have raised this before. The transparency policy should pick up indeed how our reports are written and constructed. And at times we see elements of the reports provided to us by officers that have both material that should be on open council and material that should be both behind closed doors. So I've made this comment. It's about how you structure how much of the reporting we can get out in the public space and keeping that part that should be disclosed. Mr. Mayor, again, in the document control, the review date as outlined on this document is August 2024. So indeed, a new council, if it's not brought to their attention by the officers or indeed through some sort of process in the Act, there is no expectation that this needs to come up before the council until a new council concludes, just prior to the conclusion. I believe that is way too long. And again, as I've supported and been consistent all through this meeting, these documents should come up very early in the time of a new council so they understand about transparency and their obligations in relation to that. Mr. Mayor, another element I'd like to make is on page 4 of 9, which to me is in contradiction. It talks around at 4.6.1.1, in the interest of transparency, council may by resolution determine to release information to the public, even though it is confidential. And then straight under that, it highlights that a decision under clause 4.6.1.1 will generally only be made available if council, on the advice of the chief executive officer, is satisfied that releasing the confidential information would not be inconsistent with any legal or contractual obligation, cause disadvantage to any person, including council, and otherwise to be contrary to the public extent interest. I understand the rationale behind that, Mr. Mayor, but in actual fact, the power of a resolution and the responsibility of a resolution sits with the council. So if the council choose, in the interest of transparency, by resolution to deem that information to be made available to the public, the responsibility and ultimately the decision sits is with the council. Yet the clause tells me that that can be overridden on advice by the CEO. I believe the council should be strong enough to make a decision and stand by a decision and support the decision of the council that's been made. To me, they are in a bind with each other. It was an extra additional element that I picked up, Mr. Mayor, but again, I can't support this document in its entirety. I would, as Councillor Robinson alluded to try to amend the document, but we just come under continued scrutiny around our governance processes and denying the opportunity as an individual councillor to make rights in a public meeting, which I'm doing currently at the moment, that I support the majority of this document, but there are some tweaking of the document that I do not support. So, Mr. Mayor, on that basis, I cannot support that you can put this document out in its entirety and expect the new council to review it in August 2024, which indeed is only a couple of months before the end of that council term.
Thanks, Councillor Grimble. Watching the clock, sorry. Okay, thank you. The only comments I would say before I'm going to throw to Councillor Clark to have a right of reply is that I actually support the process this has gone through. This public transparency policy has been brought up at councillor briefing meetings. We've had the opportunity to discuss in depth before it went out to public comment. So it's been out to public comment and now come back. And so I think the process that we followed is fair and reasonable. It does highlight the importance of the briefing meetings that we have as councillors, and there'll be some new councillors, potential candidates watching tonight. And it's important to emphasise the importance of the briefing meetings to be able to make important decisions which will guide our different policies that are coming along, to ask all those questions, particularly before something goes out for public comment. It's very important. Councillor Clark, did you want to say anything?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Just that this is such an important document. When you're talking about legal principles of confidentiality and the difficulty associated with that and where it can actually end up in the courts, I believe the CEO is the right person to actually advise council on what is appropriate and what isn't. There's no one sitting around this council chamber who has a legal degree, including the CEO. So the CEO will get legal advice, because this is a very, very delicate area that this council has to comply with. So I think the document is sound, it's very strong, and I think the CEO advising councillors on what is appropriate in a confidential sense is vital to protect the council, to protect the individuals on council, and to protect the officers. So I'm very confident and comfortable with this document and believe it should progress. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Sorry, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Against? It's carried. Thank you. We'll move now to item 9.11, which is the additional council meeting prior to election period. The purpose of this report is to schedule an additional council meeting prior to the commencement of the election period. With a recommendation there, which has been moved by Councillor Clark, thank you, and seconded by Councillor Power, thank you. Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I know there are quite a few important issues coming up that need Council's decision prior to the caretaker state. So I think it's just vital that we get these contractual issues dealt with prior to that. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Well, thank you. Councillor Power.
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Any speakers against the motion? Councillor Robertson. Can't hear you, Councillor Robertson.
Can you hear me now, Mr. Mayor?
Yep, thank you.
While that keeps dropping off, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, my concern would be that we should be dealing with just urgent matters, and if there's a way of getting that assurance rather than procedural matters, I'd feel a lot more comfortable. Otherwise, we stick to our meeting schedule and a special meeting process if we have to do that.
Okay, thank you. Any other speakers for the motion?
Mr. Mayor, just a point of clarification. This recommendation, indeed motion, scheduling an additional council meeting on the 21st of September. I'm assuming that the ordinary council meeting, which is scheduled at the end of September, would still proceed?
Yeah, it's really depends on what else do we have councillors to deal with for the agenda on the 28th. One option is for us to be able to reschedule that meeting. So if we don't have enough items for the 28th, we can reschedule it. The reason being, we don't have a scheduled meeting in October. And the reason for that is because the election date actually happens to be just before our scheduled meeting day, which is the 4th Monday. So yeah, there'll be some flexibility if we think, you know, that there is need for some items to be considered by council, you know, before the election.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm happy to support the recommendation, and I understand the rationale behind having a meeting just prior to the caretaker period. The reason why I ask that question is I don't believe that we should have a meeting within 7 days of holding an additional council meeting. And if we are to do that, it might be more timely to reschedule that till early October. But I, like Councillor Robinson, believe that if we are to have our normal council meeting at the end of September, the only business that we should see on an additional council meeting a week earlier would indeed be urgent business, which is the rationale, as I understand it, to deal with items that need to be dealt with before we go on caretaker. So if there's some reassurance that that is indeed the case, I'm happy to support the recommendation, but I'm asking for some clarification about what might come up and be required to come up on the 21st of September to be dealt with before the caretaker period.
So, Mr. Mayor, so effectively it's the matters, you know, which can't be dealt with during the caretaker period, you know, so which are major decisions and clearly contracts and above that value, as we discussed earlier, you know, they are major matters. So that's why we want to make sure, you know, that things keep ticking along in the new financial year, you know, so we do need council consideration of a number of tenders, which I mentioned, you know, in one of the responses to the public question. So that's the big part of it. And I think that we probably would also be ready to bring the concept and schematic design for the first stage of City to River project, because the submissions for the plans, they closed yesterday. So depending on, you know, what we've actually heard or received by way of feedback from the community, there is an opportunity for us to actually then pull it all together and perhaps, you know, make a recommendation to council at the 21st September meeting. So that's, and look, and then if there's anything else, councillors, which I find out, you know, that also needs to be considered, because we don't want to preferably defer it until after the new council is elected, I'll let you know. But at this stage, these are the things, you know, which we certainly intend to bring to council at the 21st September meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll conclude in saying that I now will not support an additional council meeting on the comments made by the CEO. I support the rationale between dealing with urgent business as far as contractual arrangements goes. And I understand there's some with the landfill, but I believe some of those more entrepreneurial type projects that I was talking about earlier, the City to River is one that should be held over to the new council. The new council elect is almost imminent by then. It's within several weeks. And I believe this council should not make decisions like that a day before we go into caretaker. Mr. Mayor, you will recall very clearly that in a previous council that we decided to hold over a significant debate about awarding a tender to the town hall, and that was held over for a new council. So history will tell us we've done that. And I believe if we decide to proceed with the City to River proceedings a day before caretaker, will come under some scrutiny unnecessarily from the public. So on that basis and the comments provided by the CEO, I'm going to oppose the additional council meeting prior to the election period, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Let's just clarify through you, Mr. Mayor. So with the designs for stage one, which I mentioned earlier, you know, for this river activation, so they are actually subject of the funding agreement, which this council has signed. And there are clear commitments under the funding agreement, which council has to honour to make sure, you know, that we achieve the timelines or the milestones, you know, which have been promised. So there is a risk, you know, that if we don't actually take the opportunity to consider the plans, which have previously been discussed and council has endorsed some of the recommendations, there is a risk, you know, that it may actually impact on the funding agreement. So just want to let councillors know that, and that's why, again, I haven't seen the feedback. I'm not sure what the feedback has come through, but the aim is that if you know, we can reasonably bring the plans to council at the 21st September meeting, that's what we will do.
So, Mr. Mayor, further clarification. So exactly what plans are we talking about?
So, councillors, these are the plans for stage one river activation. So, as you know, we've actually discussed this at a couple of briefings. So the section between the rowing club and the bridge, which also includes the water play park. So that was the concept plans which have actually been out for public comment. But the funding I mentioned earlier only covers part of that section, the $3 million, you know, which is a combination of council contribution, the federal grant, and the state government grant. So that's all included in this stage. So that's what's in the scope, and that's what's been out for public comment.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will conclude in saying that my comments still remain so. I believe that if we need to report to both the state and federal government who are on the verge of an election, they will appreciate the change in the political nature of the environment, and they'll understand where the council is coming from.
Thank you, Councillor Grimble. Any other speakers for the motion to schedule a meeting? Okay, I have to say that I understand that the question for Mrs. Bell tonight was about the tenders to be expected to be presented at this meeting. I understand they total about $5 million, roughly, and which underlines the importance of making these decisions at the appropriate time. There's a lot of local jobs involved in these tenders, and it's important that we make the decisions to get that. We were late getting our budget through, but the budget's been passed, and the next step is to start putting some of the items which are in that budget into action. And so this is why, and for once again, for the benefit of the candidates watching, the what's called the caretaker period does provide limitations on the size of which contracts can be awarded in the last few weeks of a council's term. And so the importance of shifting this meeting and making these very important decisions cannot be overstated. Councillor Clark, you have an opportunity to speak again.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think you put it eloquently. There is too many contracts that need to be ratified by this council prior to caretaker mode, and it is about jobs and about keeping this community moving forward. So it is really important, and I don't agree that the federal government and state government are going to understand our situation. They require documentation for the funding that we're receiving from them, and that has to be done in a timely manner, or we just lose that funding. It's as simple as that. And I would hate to send money back to the federal or state government for a community asset and a community infrastructure that's going to improve our river and our tourism and our community engagement along our river. So I just think it's important that we continue to move forward as a council, and this is really important to do that. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. So while you were speaking, Councillor Councillor Robertson's gone offline, so we'll have to pause the meeting and see if we can get him back online. So we'll have to move. We suspend standing orders again, please. Moved by Councillor Golvin and second by Councillor Clark. All those in favour? Against, that's carried. So the meeting will be suspended until we can get. So we need to move standing orders be resumed, which has been moved by Councillor Power, seconded by Councillor Koenig. All those in favour? Yes, that's carried. Right. I think, in fairness, Councillor Clark, I'll give you another minute, because I think Councillor Robinson dropped off while you were speaking. So if there's anything else you wanted to say.
No, Mr. Mayor, happy to continue.
Okay, I'll put the motion that the council schedule an additional meeting on the 21st of September. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. Actually, I'm going to call for a division on that, please. I'm going to repeat it again and ask you to vote, signify very clearly, please. The recommendation that council schedule an additional council meeting on the 21st of September. All those in favour? Councillor Clark, Councillor Power, Councillor Koenig, Councillor Golvin, Councillor Radford. Against? Councillor Grimble and Councillor Robertson. Thank you. Right. 9.12 is the Chief Executive Officer's report. The purpose of this report is to receive and note the Chief Executive's report for August 2020. With a recommendation there. Someone like to move that, please? Okay, I'll move it. Council receive and note the Chief Executive Officer's operation report for August 2020. And that was seconded by Councillor Koenig. Thank you. I have nothing to say. Councillor Koenig?
Nothing to say.
Are speakers against the motion? Any other speakers? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Against, that's carried. Thank you.
We move now to item 10, council reports and acknowledgements. Can someone please move that we suspend standing orders? Moved by Councillor Koenig and Councillor Power. All those in favour? Against, that's carried. I'll create an opportunity, a very quick opportunity. And Councillor Power, all those in favour? Against, that's carried. And also we need a motion to receive the reports, which has been moved by Councillor Golvin and seconded by Councillor Koenig. All those in favour? Against, that's carried. Thank you. No written business listed, no petitions. We move now to number 13, which is procedural business, assembly of councillors' records of meetings. The purpose of this item is to receive and note the assembly of councillors for the council briefings, as listed there. And that's 13.1 and 13.4 is the council committee minutes. The purpose here is to receive and note the following council minutes. But before we do that, I do have two questions, which I've given Mr. Martin a bit of notice on. So the first one relates to the Horsham Tidy Towns Committee. In the minutes of the meeting you held, Mr. Martin, you talked about the railway station cleanup. I'm wondering if you have any comments about that. And in the Western Highway Action Committee, and perhaps you or Councillor Grimble may choose to answer this question, I wonder if you could give us an update on the Ararat bypass. So, Mr. Martin.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Mayor. Firstly, in relation to Tidy Towns, the Tidy Towns Committee has been keen to see some tidying up of the Horsham Railway Station for some time. It's a bit... we had been hoping to have a representative from V-Line at a meeting on the 31st of July at a regular forum that we have with the Department of Transport relating to improved passenger services to Western Victoria as part of our Western Rail campaign. Unfortunately, the V-Line representative wasn't at that meeting. It was a late apology. So I don't have an update on any plans that V-Line might have for the railway station. Preempting what Councillor Quimble might wish to say about Ararat, I'm not sure if the issue you're talking about is Ararat bypass or specifically the resumption of works on duplication, Mr. Mayor, near Ararat on the Western Freeway duplication. Is it that subject?
Probably both of those issues are tied to our travel on the highway. Yep. So.
Okay. Well, there's been a couple of things that have happened in relation to the duplication works, Mr. Mayor. One is there was an ombudsman's investigation into the process that Major Road Projects Victoria followed in relation to its selection of route alignments and issues dealing with landholders and Aboriginal parties and trees. And the ombudsman's report was very favourable towards the processes that they had followed. Not to say that there's not still some local issues here or there that are of concern to some individuals, but the process they followed was found by the Ombudsman to be satisfactory. Secondly, there has been an appeal to the Federal Minister in relation to the protection of some trees in that area, and the decision from the Minister has come in to which allows the works to proceed. So my understanding is that Major Roads Project Victoria is gearing up the works again. I haven't been on the road that far for quite some time, Mr. Mayor, so I haven't seen it myself, but subject to favourable weather conditions, the duplication works will resume shortly. There is a process being considered for a bypass of Ararat, and I understand they're going through consideration of a range of route alignment options at this stage. No decision on that yet, as far as I'm aware, Mr. Mayor.
Good, thank you. Councillor Grimble, did you want to add anything at all?
Nothing to add, but probably a request to Mr. Martin. That's a group that the Western Highway Action Committee get regular reports from Department of Transport and Regional Roads Victoria, and they're also verbal by their members who are attending. So it might be appropriate on your question that the most recent report be circulated to the councils if you haven't seen that report. No, I've got nothing to add. Mr. Martin covered it pretty well. Thank you.
Good. Okay, thank you. Therefore, I'll move to the move back to the agenda. So we have a motion. Let's flip the page over. Recommendation there, councillors. Would someone like to move that? Councillor Power.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt, but just in relation to what Mr. Martin was saying about the railway station and so forth, with tidy towns and so forth, but I'll speak for myself as a councillor here now, but it looks like a war zone down there at the railway station. You look at the overpass, you look at the ground surrounding that, like that's been an issue of mine for 4 years now since I've been in council. And with the assistance of Tidy Towns, with letters and so forth we keep putting in, it just needs to be noted that we need to be doing a lot more than what we're doing in relation to it. It's going to be a really big problem for the next council because it, to me, it is a war zone that you get to the bridge and you look over the bridge and you've got Horsham North, and I hate that word, and it divides us, whereas it could be a, well, it could be anything. But at the moment, it's a nothing. It's just an eyesore with graffiti and everything all over the bridge and so forth. The grass that's there that just grows, it just looks terrible. That's all I'm saying. Sorry about that. But we just need to be doing stuff with it. That's all. Need to be seen to be progressing.
All right. So do you have a question for Mr. Martin?
No, I haven't. I'm just supporting Mr. Martin. That's
okay. All right. Okay. We'll keep moving, folks. We have a recommendation there. Would someone like to move that, please? Okay, I'll move it. The council receives and notes agenda item 13.1, assembly of councillors, record of meetings, 13.2, sealing of documents, 13.3, inward correspondence, and 13.4, council committee meetings. Would someone like to second that, please? Councillor Clark? No, I have nothing to say. Councillor Clark, do you have anything to say? Are there any speakers? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. 14, nothing on item 15, confidential matters. There are confidential items on the agenda for consideration tonight. I now advise that the meeting will close to the public so that we can move into what's called confidential matters. Also advise that when the meeting moves into confidential matters, we will be moving to a different platform. I'll be asking each attendee to confirm that where they are participating from is secure and to ensure that the deliberations are confidential. Can someone please now move that the council meeting close to consider moving into confidential matters? Moved by Councillor Koenig and Councillor Power. All those in favour? Against, that's carried. Thank you. Cut it there and we'll see you on the other side.